Hello and welcome to this latest podcast. And today, Lorna and I are going to be talking about building relationships with recruiters. And of course, recruiters or recruitment consultants often get a bad rap, sometimes deservedly, sometimes not so, from both candidates and employers. And you see a lot of this online. So how do we work with the good ones and avoid the bad ones? And of course, this applies to both employers and candidates. So probably a good place to kick off, Lorna, is perhaps there's two models, isn't there, for recruitment consultancy, two basic models for recruitment consultancy. Can you maybe explain for the listener what those are and why it's important to understand the difference?
Yeah, of course, Nigel. I think it's important to understand the difference because it, as a job seeker, it helps you to understand your position within the job market and in terms of using recruiters to find a position. So if we look at the contingent market first, then contingency recruiters are paid for placing a candidate with a company on success only.
So and contingency, sorry to interrupt, contingency is really the vast majority of recruitment companies, isn't it? You know, certainly the US and the UK and probably other parts of the world as well.
I think that most people would understand or come across that model more frequently for the majority of positions within in the marketplace. Basically, a recruiter or a recruitment company will be engaged with a client and be working on multiple roles that they are trying to fill on behalf of those clients. So they only get paid if they successfully place somebody with that client. So
and that's what contingency means.
That's what contingency
is that they're engaged on a contingent arrangement so that they only get paid when they fill that role.
Yeah. So from their point of view, the more roles they're working on, the higher chance they'll have of successfully placing somebody within those roles. Whereas from a retained sort of perspective, then the client is actually engaging with the recruitment consultancy to actively go out to the market and identify people for a particular role that they're actually paid for in advance. So they get paid.
That's the second category, isn't it? The retained, sometimes called executive search approach. Yeah.
So in that sense, from a candidate's point of view, then they are less likely to be competing against, well, they won't be competing against lots of other recruitment agencies also already trying to fill those job vacancies because that recruitment agency has that position exclusively. So they're going out to the market, they're identifying individuals that could do that role and they are exclusively working with the client. So there's less competition. So from a candidate's point of view, working with a company that's got an executive retained search project going on, then you're probably in a stronger position because you're not competing against lots of other candidates, but also you're not competing against lots of other recruitment agencies also working on those vacancies.
Yeah, and that's the fundamental difference, isn't it? And by the way, you know, neither model is necessarily, inverted commas, better, close inverted commas, than the other. It is just a different model and it applies to different parts of industry and different levels.
I think I agree with you there, Nigel. Just I think from a candidate's perspective, it's slightly different in how they actually work with the recruitment consultancy.
Absolutely, yeah.
So if you've been approached by a recruitment consultancy who have got the role on exclusively as an executive search project, then the recruiter is going to nurture and you're one of fewer candidates that are being, you know, represented. Whereas I think if you're a candidate working with a contingency recruiter, then my opinion is that the candidate would actually have to work harder to make sure that they're engaging with the recruiter on a more regular basis.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And again, just to emphasise the difference, retained executive search, you will normally notice that the thoroughness of the interview, because that's part of what, because essentially the client, the employer is paying an executive search, retained executive search company, they're paying them up front to do this search. So therefore, they're expecting a lot more in return. So a proper retained executive search company is going to be doing a very thorough interview in order to make sure that the candidate is appropriate before submitting them. contingent recruitment tends to be a lot more transactional and tends to be a lot quicker. So they don't have the time, because if you think about it, if there's a reasonable chance that that individual is going to be put forward, and then the contingent recruiter goes back to the company and says, "Hey, I've got this great candidate," and the company goes, "Oh, well, actually, sorry, we've already filled it." Because that's what happens.
Yeah, so, all the time.
Basically, Lorna and I have worked with both of these models. We have preferred to move towards retained consultancy. That's what we feel. That's where we feel our skills are best. But there is no doubt that contingent recruiting, and the reason for this discussion really is to actually understand those two different models in order so that candidates and employers can get the best out of them. So if you really understand what drives those models, so if you look at contingency, for example, that's really being driven by volume. They must turn over a number of things. So if you feel you're not getting a great service, well, I'm afraid that's because the client hasn't, the employer hasn't paid for that service. They're only going to pay for it at the end. So, you know, they have to expect that that's the service they're going to get. So, moving on. There are obviously, even within those segments, there are good ones and bad ones, aren't there? I mean, what can a, let's think about the candidate for the purposes of this. And by the way, any employers that are listening to this as well, it's just as important for you, the employer, to understand the candidate experience. So from a candidate experience point of view, Lorna, what would we say, you know, how would a candidate determine whether or not that's a recruitment agency, a recruitment consultancy that they want to engage with?
I think they, as a candidate, then you're starting your job search, then I would be doing some research into the recruitment consultancies or agencies that you're thinking about working with. You have a choice. So you can go out to the market, do your research online, find out which recruitment consultancies have job opportunities within the sector that you want to work within, but also pick up the phone and get in touch with them and have a conversation and find out, you know, what is their experience. You might work with a recruitment consultancy and they've got lots of recruiters, and you know, one recruiter may be better than the other. So is the recruiter that's working on your behalf actually going to be able to work with you and find you an opportunity? Do they have the right client base to approach
Absolutely.
On your behalf?
Yeah.
Do they have jobs advertised on their website that they could immediately talk to you about, that they could potentially put you forward to? Are they honest? Are they, you know, are they upfront? Because you don't want to be in a situation where the recruiter is selling you, you know, the earth, telling you that there's masses of jobs out there, and then a month down the line, you still haven't heard anything and you're still waiting for a job opportunity to come along that you can be, you know, put forward to. So I think it's about doing your research. It's about talking to the recruiters, understanding how they're positioned within the marketplace that you're looking within, to make sure that there is potential opportunities for you to, you know, be put forward to.
I think one of the things that we'll discuss in some future podcasts as well, of course, is that although Lorna and I come from recruitment backgrounds, the reality is that recruitment consultants are not the only way for you to find opportunities. But they are a very good way for the vast majority of people, provided you find, as Lorna said, you know, do your research. I mean, one of the aspects I would think of doing that research is also looking for references. So, you know, who have your friends, colleagues,
yep.
if they've been in the marketplace, who have they used? Who's worked well for them? Who have they used and it's been a bad experience? Avoid those ones like the plague. I wish it were not the case that there are poor recruiters out there, because they get the rest of the industry a bad name. But there are quite a lot. Because it's, you know, particularly contingency recruiting, it's not terribly difficult to set up. And so people that don't really know what they're doing, haven't had any training, can set up as a claim they're a recruitment consultant. So it is important to do that research and then, you know, really ensure that they're representing you properly. I mean, Laura and I specialise for most of what we do. We've specialised in the life science sector. You know, when you speak to a recruitment consultant, ask them, what is their experience in that sector, your sector? I mean, you might not be in life science, you might be in something else. But you know, really try and understand whether that person talks your language. If they don't talk your language, then it's probably better to go and speak to somebody else. So if you're dealing with a number of recruiters, then it's good to kind of keep that number relatively small. So you've got interface with probably four or five. It's harder.
Also, it's hard to manage if you're working with too many recruiters. From a candidate's perspective, it's hard to manage, because if you're working with good recruiters, then they should be putting you forward for job opportunities, and so therefore you need to, you know, when the phone rings, you need to know who you're talking to, what it's about. There's ways of obviously tracking that, but you don't want to spread your time too thin. You really want to be able to focus your job search on, you know, what's going to work for you and the opportunities that are meeting your career plan and your career goals. So,
and the same goes for, you know, more senior candidates. I mean, sometimes the difficulty there is that when you're looking at retained consultants, they do a search, as it were. So they actually go out to the market, they approach people who might not be looking at the moment, but you can still make the individuals that work with, at that type of level, you can identify the types of search companies that might have the types of roles, and you just make yourself, you make those individuals aware of you, so that if they do come across a role, they start a search. It's very nice if you're doing a search, as I've done on many occasions myself, to actually think, actually, I already know one or two really good people who might meet this profile. So it's good to make yourself aware, you know, make yourself available, as it were, to those individuals. And then there's another aspect, I think, Lorna, on you know, in terms of making sure you're dealing with the right type of company. You touched on honesty there. You know, what are the values of these organizations and their reliability? Talk us through some of you. I mean, you've done loads of work on GDPR and so on. I mean, what should people be looking for in order to know that they're dealing with a company of repute as opposed to a bit of a cowboy?
Well, I think one of the first things is that a recruiter should not pass your details on to a potential employer without your permission. So.
Happens a lot, unfortunately, even though it's illegal in most jurisdictions.
Yes, exactly. It is very illegal, and it does happen a lot. And I think that's partly where the bad rap comes from sometimes, is that the candidate finds out they've been put forward for a job opportunity without even knowing what the opportunity is, because the recruiter is trying to go so fast and kind of, you know. I think in some
sense, happens a lot with contingency, doesn't it?
Yes, I mean, because they're trying to beat the other recruiters to get the candidates in front of the client. And if the recruiter has tried to call you and you're not answering the phone, but they know you're a good match, then, you know, some unscrupulous ones will just submit your CV and then hope for the best afterwards. And that's no way to go about, you know, putting candidates forward for an opportunity. And if you were a candidate talking to your recruiter, I think the other thing is that the recruiter should know quite a great deal about the client, about the job opportunity, about the culture of that company. They should be able to sell you the opportunity and the company really well. And that means that they have done their due diligence. They have basically spoken to the hiring manager of that company or someone in HR, and they know exactly
That's one of the tips we give to employers as well, isn't it? You know, if you're going to work with a recruiter, remember that recruiter is representing you. They are representing
your employer brand.
Exactly, extension of your employer brand. You know, if they're doing a bad job in selling opportunities, then they're representing you really, really badly. And conversely, potential candidates need to think about that. If a company is using a shoddy recruiter, then I'm afraid that reflects really badly on that company. And you need to think about that. So that's a great topic, isn't it, Lorna? We could talk about this for a lot, lot longer, but we are trying to keep these podcasts short.
There's masses enough to talk about.
So a few really, really useful tips there for everybody. Just remember, everyone, there is a lot of hate out there for recruiters. There are a lot of us that are genuinely ethical. And there are a lot that are really good at what they do. So it's about being able to sift through that and and dare I say it, fine people like Lorna and myself who genuinely want to make sure that we do a good job on behalf of not just our paying clients, but also candidates as well. So I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and we'll look forward to speaking with you again, won't we, Lorna, on the next one?
We will. Thank you, Nigel. Thanks for listening.
Have a great day.